Welcome, everybody, to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CIT Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That was the theme song of David Duchovny's new show. They just finished up their second season this past year, Californication. I recommend it. All right, everybody, let's get into the show, post-Oscars show. With us on the line, you're in a study group. I'll say it, you're the star player of the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. At least you have been in the playoffs. Chris Dick on the phone. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Pretty good, Chris. And Chris, did you watch the Oscars? I lost $50 betting on the Oscars. I didn't get one pick right.
I saw a couple minutes of it, but I had two midterms on Monday, so my Sunday was kind of spent just studying. So
that's a lame.
I didn't catch too much of it.
That's a lame reason to miss Hugh Jackman doing a song and dance routine, Chris.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Did you see any of the movies
from this year?
Yes, Chris, from this year.
Yeah, of course. I've seen a bunch of. I'm a big movie guy, so I love watching movies. So.
All right. What did you think of the ones that won? The ones that were nominated? What were your opinions of these movies?
Well, to be honest, I haven't seen The Slumdog Millionaire yet. I've heard a lot of good things about it, but haven't seen that one yet. To be honest, I don't. Did The Dark Knight, is that this last year or was that the year before?
That was this year, Chris.
Okay, yeah, that was my favorite. I haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire, but that's probably one of my best movies I've ever seen. I really enjoyed that one, so I would have voted for that one. But
did you see The Wrestler?
I haven't seen that one either, no.
Okay. All right. I guess we'll move on.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, of course I've seen them all.
Yeah? Did you like it?
Which one?
The Wrestler.
I thought The Wrestler should have been Best Picture.
Okay.
I bet on Milk to win Best Picture.
Okay.
And I was wrong. I lost. Yeah. I lost $20 on that one. But we move on. All right. You want to talk basketball? We'll save movies for another day.
All right. Sounds good.
With us on the line, Chris Dick, starting guard for the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. Chris, you guys got your round two playoff series, the divisional final, underway last weekend at the War Gym. What an atmosphere. It was really something special at War Memorial on the weekend. Two games versus Trinity Western, 83-80 winners on the Friday, 80-64 winners on the Saturday. Don't let that 16-point win fool you, though. You guys pulled away late. It was pretty close throughout. Chris, it was a pretty special weekend down there at the gym.
Yeah, I mean, again, we weren't really sure exactly how many people were going to come because it was week and stuff like that. So we were really happy with the turnout that we got, and it made for a pretty cool atmosphere because it wasn't just a one-sided crowd. I mean, Trinity brought out, they had a couple sections that were pretty rowdy there. So it was kind of neat to see, like, kind of the fans going back and forth, and it was just very loud, and it was a good atmosphere to play in.
And, Chris, I got to ask you, at the very end of the first game, and you were on fire in that game, 28 points in that contest on 9-for-14 shooting in only 25 minutes. I'll say this, Chris, I've never seen you in foul trouble like you were in that past weekend. But it was the end of the game. You guys are down by a point. You shoot an air ball, correct?
Yeah.
Kyle Watson picks up the rebound, puts it home. Somebody asked me if you shot that air ball on purpose. Chris, I told them, "Doc, Chris shot an air ball there." What happened? You did just shoot an air ball, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, of course, you'd love to say, "Oh, yeah, no, that was a pass to Kyle." But, no, it was, I tried to shoot it and it just didn't work out. But Kyle, that's one of his strengths is, you know, flashing to the hoop and offensive rebounding. And he did a really good, great job on that play, getting it and putting it back in to give us the lead.
What was going through your mind, Chris, 3 minutes to go in that first game? You guys are down 4 points. And I sort of had the feeling that if you lost that game, I mean, you're looking at obviously a three-game series at least, but now you guys have to dig yourself out of a hole. They've beaten you guys two straight games when they've played you. You pulled it out at the end. How important was that final 3 minutes, that big push you guys had in the first game?
Oh, that was huge. I mean, yeah, all those thoughts are going through your mind, you know, when you're on the verge of losing, you know, you're thinking of, okay, now it's going to be a three-game series. We've made it a lot more difficult to host Canada West and stuff like that. And so we really just wanted to dig down and win that game. And I think a lot of it came when we full-court pressed. They had a lot of trouble with that. So, that worked out really well for us. But also our depth as well, because there we were, and I personally in foul trouble the whole weekend, but our depth showed through because they had a couple guys foul out. I think Dirksen fouled out with 3 minutes left, and so that was big for us, and we were able just to kind of make a little run of our own at the end of the game.
The play of Josh White on the weekend, didn't play 2 weeks ago versus SFU, missed the last weekend of the regular season, cracked bone in his foot, didn't play very much on the weekend, but 10 points in 14 minutes on the Friday, and I thought at the end of the game on the Saturday he was quite spectacular, 12 points in the 25 minutes, but he really scored when it counted on the Saturday.
Yeah, he was a big lift. I mean, he's just kind of an instant offense guy, and he's a guy who brings a lot of toughness, and he does a bit of everything. And yeah, he had a huge hoop on Saturday. I think it was he had an end one layup. That was a big play, and he hit a couple big threes in the game. And he had that 4-point play, I think, in the first game. So he made a lot of big plays, especially coming in off the bench and, in his limited time as he's getting, back into game shape, being off for, I think, so almost 3 weeks. So it'll take him just a little while to get back and getting that foot feeling better. But he was big for us on the weekend.
And another guy, last 3 minutes in the first game, I thought might have been the best basketball I've ever seen him play in his career, fifth-year player Bryson Cool, who on the Saturday, playing against what a lot of people call the best player in the country, Jacob Dirksen. Jacob Dirksen in that game, 16 points, 8 rebounds in 37 minutes. Bryson Cool in that game matched him every step of the way, if not more, 14 points, 8 rebounds in only 31 minutes. Bryson Cool on the Saturday and Bryson Cool in the last 3 minutes of that Friday game was quite good, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You hit it right on the head. And with a great player like Jacob, if we can hold him to, I can't remember first night. I think he had like 9 points and 13 rebounds, and then he did a little bit about the same the next night. And we felt that if Bryson could match up with him, just like you said he did, and that's what he did, it gives us a great chance to win because. Overall, when they beat us the one game in Trinity, Jacobs had a huge night, and it was great to see Bryson, step up to the plate. And I mean, 16 and 8 that's shutting him down basically, considering his numbers that he's put up during the regular season and stuff. So, Bryson did an amazing job both on, guarding him and offensively himself as well.
Say what you can here, Chris. I'm not exactly sure what the rules are with commenting here, but what was with you in foul trouble on the weekend?
I don't know. It just seemed like one of those weekends where, especially the second night, that you just come out there and for a minute or so, and somehow you're committing fouls all the time. So I honestly don't really know exactly what was going on, but
We'll leave it at that and move on, hey?
Yeah, I guess I just have to play less physical or something. I don't know.
Chris Dick with us right now, averaging 24 points per game in the playoffs. And, Chris, the playoffs so far for you this year, you were at 14 points in the regular season, down 4 points from last year, but up 10 points on that in the playoffs. And that's with getting the 16 points with 20 minutes in the second game versus Trinity. So you play more minutes in that game, you probably get more points. I mean, are you just feeling it right now, Chris? Is it a fifth-year thing? What's going on with you?
I think it's physically I'm feeling better than I was earlier in the year. And it was just kind of the thing with our team where, Josh went down. And although he's still kind of putting up some pretty good numbers, but with him going down, I knew that I would have to kind of take on a little bit of an extra load scoring-wise. But also I've been shooting the ball really well, so my percentage is almost doubled from the regular season where I just didn't seem to ever get into the rhythm too much. I'm just trying to let the game come to me, and it's been going good so far.
Taking on Brandon in the Canada West Final Four, Chris, depending on how it works, there is a national wild card, which you guys might be able to get, but Carleton is ranked ahead of you. I'll just say, if you lose on Friday, you probably still go to Nationals, but you won't for sure be going to Nationals.
Right.
This game versus Brandon, a team you beat in the regular season, 13-9 Brandon's record on the regular season, but they've got some pretty tough players on this team. You guys are at home. you are heavily favored in this game, the matchup you and Brandon, in a game where the winner of that game on the Friday guaranteed a spot in the national championship tournament. The winner of that game will have made the final eight.
Right. You look at Brandon's record at 13-9 and stuff, but Brandon's a team that's been, at nationals a bunch over the last bunch of years, and they're a team that you can't overlook. And we beat them earlier on in the year, I think by 13 or something like that. But it's a team that, we're going to have to play like it's our last night. And, you never want to play and lose that first game and then have to win that second game and rely on someone else to pull it out to hopefully you get a wild card. And that's not the position we want to be in. So we got to come out like it's do or die, like we're playing our last game and just put it all out in the court. And, you're right. They do have some Danny Charlery, a couple guys who can really score the ball. So we're going to have to really rely on our defense. And we feel like if we play really good defense, like on the Saturday night, holding a good team to 64 points, that's more of the score that we liked rather than the Friday game giving up 80 points. And if we do it on the boards as well, I think we'll be fine.
Tell us about this player, Danny Charlery, Chris. Their coach, Keith Vassell, I'm going to play an interview with him right after I talk to you, actually told me he thinks this guy might be the best player in the country.
I don't think a lot of people would argue that I've played against him. I've played against him for, it seemed like my whole career, basically. He's a great guy, great player. He's really quick and, he can jump really high. And, when he gets it going, he's really tough to stop. So he's someone we're going to have to make sure that we deny him the ball and limit his touches that he's able to get and just make it tough for him. He's going to get some hoops. I guess the key is that we, make him take a lot of shots to get his points and just make it tough on him.
Chris, you've won the Canada West your first 2 years as a UBC Thunderbird, but the way it works is there's the three division and it rotates each year where the division winner gets to host the Canada West Final Four. This is the year, finally, for you. UBC does get to host the Canada West Final Four. Has to be something for you. You got to be looking forward to this if you guys can pull it off, winning a Canada West championship in War Memorial Gym. That's something you still haven't done here.
No, and that's been something that you kind of circle on your calendar right at the beginning of the year, knowing that, our division was going to get the Canada West. And that's what you work for. You work hard to get the home court advantage. And as a fifth-year guy, you can't really ask for too much more than to be able to host your divisional playoff finals, unless you're doing the national thing, Carleton gets to kind of play at home. That would be kind of nice too. But this is awesome, just being able to host Canada West, and hopefully, maybe our crowd will even improve this weekend. So hopefully we can pack out War Memorial for the weekend.
Well, last time UBC hosted, Chris, I think there was about 2,400 people here for the final game. So
yeah, so we're looking forward to it. I heard about that game. That was before I was ever here. But I think the excitement is kind of growing around the campus, and hopefully it continues this weekend.
And Chris, just to help promote the weekend here, I'm going to be interviewing Henry Beckering later on in the show of the Calgary Dinos. I adore it because I got to see it for the first time in the Canada West Final Four when you played Calgary in Calgary last year.
Right.
I personally adore, don't know about you, but Calgary's warm-up with the dunks they do. I mean, I'm telling people, Chris, that Calgary game starts at 5 o'clock. If they're coming to that game, make sure you get here at 4:40 to see Calgary warm up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I've never peeked down the other way when we've played against them. I mean, some of the stuff they do, is NBA dunk competition type of stuff. And just to see such, big... like Henry, he's such a big guy, like he's 6'5", like 230 pounds. And for him to be able to get that big frame so high, and he's a freak athlete, basically what it is. And if people really want to see something, they should definitely get there at 4:40.
And Chris, your team had a couple good dunks. Matt Racher and Bryson Cool, the fifth-year guys, hammered one down on the weekend.
Yeah, it was great to see. We're always bugging Matty because I don't think he's had a dunk in a regular season or playoff game as a Thunderbird. So it was good to get that one off his back. And Bryson's was a. I think they were both big. They were both.
Yeah, they both had some power on them. They both had some power.
But just, I don't know, it gave us some good momentum at the right times, and those are big plays. And, you know, when they're aggressive, then we're going to be good.
Chris, you used to dunk more early in your career. What's going on here?
Well, you know, I don't know. I just haven't seemed to have those opportunities on the break or anything like that this year. But I am feeling better. You know, if you watch our warm-up, I'll throw down a couple. But no, I just haven't, you know, been on the breakaway or gotten that steal that, you know, leads like Matt Racher got the other night. But who knows? Maybe it's last weekend at UBC. Maybe I'll get one.
There you go. Just keep hitting those jump shots, Chris, and everything's good.
There you go. Yeah.
Chris Dick, UBC Thunderbirds will be playing the Brandon Bobcats 7 o'clock on Friday in the Canada West semifinal game. The winner will be going to the national championship tournament. Best of luck on Friday, Chris.
Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
All right, that was Chris Dick of the UBC Thunderbirds, who will be taking on the Brandon Bobcats Friday night at War Memorial Gymnasium. I caught up with the head coach of Brandon earlier in the year, first-year head coach Keith Vassell. This is a very tough Brandon team, 13-9 on the year, not a great record, but this is a very proven Brandon program. They've made the CIS tournament 24 times. That is the most of any school. And they've been in the Canada West Championship. This will be their third year in a row in this tournament. They won the Canada West Championship in 2007, a year they lost the national final. So this is a very experienced Brandon team. And while UBC is a big favorite, Brandon is a team they are going to have to respect. Well, I caught up with the head coach of the Brandon Bobcats a little earlier in the day, Keith Vassell. So here's a little preview of what Brandon we'll be bringing you to the gym Friday night at 7 o'clock. Here I am with the head coach of the Brandon Bobcats, first-year head coach Keith Vassell. Coach, your first season with the team, 13-9 regular season, a classic playoff series versus the Regina Cougars. You trailed by 14 points in Game 3 of that series in the second half, got your first lead of the game with under a minute to go, 178-76. Before we get into the UBC game on Friday, a great win, crazy series for you guys to get here, hey?
Oh, for sure. We played Regina, I don't know how many times, 7 times, and in regular season, the difference was 1 or 2 points. Both won 2 games, and then the final series ends up in the same way. They definitely were the better team for 37 minutes, and we just kind of were hanging around. And then it just worked out for us with a big push at the end.
Regina had a chance to win the game at the end, Coach. I read the shot was partially blocked, or to tie the game, I'm sorry, at the end. What was going through your minds as Regina had the ball in the last possession of that game, trying to send it into overtime, if not win the game?
Well, I think it was I felt pretty good because I felt it would have been difficult for them to get a good shot off. So it was just a situation that we were going to try and pressure them and make sure that they would get going and rush and kind of just play it from there.
Coach, you're going to be taking on the UBC Thunderbirds here at War Memorial Gymnasium on Friday at 7 o'clock. It's a Thunderbird basketball team, 21-2 on the season. They're 4-0 in their playoff games this year. Haven't lost a home game all season long. You played them one time this year at home, November 14th, in Brandon. UBC beat you by 13 points. Sounds like a tough matchup on paper for you guys. What do you guys have to do to come out with this victory?
You know, the guard play that we have, we've both teams that, you know, we can really get hot outside the three-point line. And if the teams don't really pay attention to the post players, they can also have good games. So, and also just teams that are kind of focused on forcing a lot of ball pressure. So I think in a lot of ways we're very similar teams, although I think that UBC has proven to be very disciplined and plays with a lot of composure and obviously with a lot of the experience that the players have, plus you know, they've been playing with Coach Hansen for a while. So I think it works out really well. I still like our chances, though.
And tell us about the star players on your team, your two leading scorers, Danny Charlie and Rajon Chabot. Tell us about these two players.
Well, Danny Charlie, in my eyes, is probably the best player in the country. I haven't seen anybody like him. He's very creative in the ways that he gets to the basket. Very tough to defend one-on-one. And then he's a very good three-point shooter. So with quickness and athleticism, he's been a great utility guy because we don't really have, throughout the season, we haven't really had a strong post presence. And so sometimes in key games, we've had to put him at the four spot at 6-1, and he's been doing a good job for us there. And then also he's a guard. So in my eyes, I still think that pound for pound he's the best player that I've seen this season.
And Rajon Chabot, tell us about this player, averaged on the season 17 points per game for you guys.
I think he's tough. This kid is a lumberjack mentality. He comes in with kind of garbage pail, so to speak, and he's willing to take on the challenges. So even though he's 6 feet, I guess a 6'1", he's willing to mix it up, very strong, and he goes hard. So it's one of those things that I believe one-on-one, I think he's also a very tough check for teams that have to play us. But also, he defensively maintains a good job on the ball, pressure, and I think these two guys, we definitely wouldn't be here without them.
And Coach, you're a former Brandon player. You had great success on the team, and this is a Brandon school, more CIS national championship appearances than any other school. You guys have been there 24 times.
Yeah.
There's a lot of expectations at the University of Brandon for men's basketball, hey?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question.
There's a lot of expectation for Brandon basketball to be successful, hey?
Oh, yes. Yeah, at the beginning of the season, we were, I think, 2-6 at one point. And, for a small town, we're in a transition. We didn't, we lost three irreplaceable players based on ability and talent plus positions, and the community was expecting us to be winning. The expectations from the community is very high, and they're not really compassionate in the sense of saying, okay, well, this is probably a rebuilding year. Although they're very supportive, it's a very supportive community. But with that, you can either gripe about it or, you can try and find a way. So I think that the fact that the expectations from the community was so high and just within ourselves, it just forced us to have to step up our game, and it came through because really since December, we've been playing at a different level and as a different team than we were at the first semester.
Keith Fassel, head coach of the Brandon Bobcats, will be playing the UBC Thunderbirds here at War Memorial Gymnasium on Friday. Winner gets an automatic berth to the national championship tournament. Coach, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck on the weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, so once again, that was Keith Fassel, head coach of Brandon. We'll be playing UBC at the War Memorial Gymnasium, 7 p.m. on Friday. Should be a great atmosphere. Canada West Final Four Championship. If you're a student on campus, highly, highly recommend, or if you're a student at this school, get down there to the War Memorial Gymnasium. Should be a great atmosphere. It was awesome against Trinity Western on the weekend. Should be even better this weekend. Hopefully it will be. UBC will be taking on Brandon at 7 o'clock. The other matchup will be Calgary and Trinity Western at 5. Should also be a great game. Both games will be broadcasted on 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Got an interview right now with the head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans, Scott Allen. Trinity coming into the weekend. They were swept by UBC last weekend. The way it works is the three divisional winners get a berth to the Canada West Final Four, and then a wild card team gets selected, and Trinity Western, via their 17-6 regular season record, got the wild card this year. And I caught up with their head coach earlier in the day, Scott Allen, in a game that the way it works for the Canada West Championship going on to Nationals is the two winners on the Friday are automatically guaranteed a berth in the National Championship Tournament. They play on the Saturday at 7 o'clock for the Canada West Championship. However, there is also a national wildcard berth available. Calgary and UBC pretty much have a shot at that national wildcard, while Trinity Western and Brandon pretty much do not have a shot at that national wildcard. Brandon for sure. Trinity, I doubt they'll get it either. So for Trinity and Brandon, they have to win, no question about it, on the Friday. Just giving you the lowdown. Anyways, I caught up earlier in the day with the head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans for a preview of their weekend matchup versus Calgary and a little review of the UBC series. Scott Allen was suspended for the UBC series, both games. What happened was in their series versus the University of Victoria the weekend before, a game that went three series, he played an illegal player. The way it worked was you had to announce on the Friday for the three games, on the Thursday for their series, for the three-game series, you have to announce your 12-team lineup before game one. Well, Scott Allen basically screwed up, played 12 guys in the first game. Joe Vroom, a guy who played for him in the first game, got sick, played another guy for the second and third game. So the Canada West punished him by suspending him for the two games versus UBC last weekend. So there you have it there. The rule dictated, however, that Trinity Western actually, they could have interpreted the rule in that Trinity Western should have forfeited that game on the Saturday, and it should have been Victoria advancing here to play UBC last weekend. So that was just another part of the crazy story here at the War Gym on Friday and Saturday. Anyways, that's all gone now because Trinity is in the Canada West Final Four, and Scott Allen will be coaching the Spartans on the weekend here. So without further ado, here's my interview with the head coach of Trinity Western, Scott Allen.
So Scott, you guys have made the Canada West Final Four as a wild card. You're playing the University of Calgary on Friday, a team you beat in Calgary earlier on in the season without your star player Jacob Dirksen. Tell us about the matchup you and Calgary in a game that, the way I look at it, Scott, you probably definitely will have to win to go to Nationals.
Oh, I agree completely, and we know we're in that situation, and I think Calgary does too, so it's going to be more of a will of heart today, I mean, or on Friday. You know, that's what's going to be happening. So, and you put Jacob back in the lineup, we become much stronger, but also how hard did we play in compensating for the loss of Jacob is really important too, right? Because that's what I think our guys played. Our guys played their hearts out when they went there because Jake wasn't there, so they can let up a little bit, and we just hope that that's not going to be the case.
And how are you going to try to match up the Beckering brothers, Robbie Sahota, Tyler Fiddler? Like you guys, I think Calgary very good in the front court, and they've got a very strong starting five.
Well, they're very deep. You know, and everybody can shoot the ball, too. I think that's they're underrated for that portion there, and it just depends who comes up and plays, who can hit big shots in the big game, right? And that's going to be the key of the game, and the second part is probably going to be the second chance points, how many chances they actually get. And they only take the first shot. If they get a second chance rebound, you know we're going to be fouling them. So it's trying to keep our top players on the floor longer than they can.
And Henry Beckering and his brother Ross, very outstanding players in the Canada West. They're going to put on a little dunk show, I'm sure, as they always do in the pregame. Tell us about these two players and how you got to match up against them.
Well, I think we have to make them take jump shots. I think that's one of the key parts, and not let them get the ball in the post because they're just so strong when they get the ball close to the hoop, and it just becomes too easy of a game. So meeting them a little higher, if we got an imaginary triangle in the key, it's like, you know, we got to meet them outside of that and not let them get in the paint.
And for your team, Jacob Dirksen so far in the playoffs, he just tell us the situation here, Scott. He's doing an excellent job rebounding the basketball, but really out of your five games, it seems just on the stat sheet at least, he's really only gotten going scoring in one game plus the fourth quarter in game two at UBC. He hasn't got quite on track offensively, at least consistently in the playoffs.
Well, I think a big part of that is just being how much time he took off, right, and with the sickness. And also he gets so much attention that he opens up easier shots for other players. So we've talked about it all year. If Jacob scores 5 points and has 15 rebounds and we win, hey, it's been a great game, right? And he understands it also. So he's not a selfish player at all, and he'll take the shots when he's open. And that's probably a key to our success.
And really, Scott, obviously you've gone through the game tape, I'm sure, with a fine-tooth comb. What happened in the series against UBC, do you think, that you guys just couldn't get it done? Played a real tough game on Friday. Were close on Saturday throughout till UBC pulled away at the end.
I think it's just purely execution, and we missed a key block out, and then we were just in a press break situation. We were in the wrong position with one of our players, and I think that just kind of rolled over into the next night. The same thing, you know, we've got to play a real, almost a perfect game, because when we're only going probably seven guys deep, and UBC is going probably, you know, 10 to 11 guys deep. So when it comes to the bodies breaking down, and you know, start making mental mistakes at the end of the game, it's just usually because you're tired, right?
And as a coach, Scott, you know, you've got this real one game to go to the national championship tournament. Your school has never been there in their history. They made the Final Four once, couldn't get to the Nationals, lost to Alberta in the semifinal game. How you excited for this as a coach, and how's the team looking at this game?
Well, you know, the fifth-year guys, it's vital for them, right? I mean, this is what our whole goal this year has been, to win a national championship and just not to get there. So I think that we're capable of winning this game, and I think that we're capable of going a long way in the playoffs also. So that's the way we got to look at it. And if we looked at it in a negative way, and so we just wanted to get to the Nationals, you know what? We got to dream big here, right? And I think every other coach probably in the CIS is saying the same thing to their guys too. You know, anything's possible, and our positive approach to it, I think, is a big thing for carrying us through. And for me as a coach, the first year, you know, it's huge. And for a lot of our players, the new guys, we've only got one guy who has an experience there, so we got Jacob Dirksen, who's been there a couple of years ago. And I think for Jacob, he knows how hard it is once you get there, and he's trying to train the guys also and talking about how much of a privilege it is to go to something as big as the Final Eight.
Awesome. Scott Allen, head coach, Trinity Western Spartans. We'll be playing Calgary Friday night to go to the Nationals here at War Memorial Gymnasium. 5 p.m. is a tip-off. Scott, best of luck on Friday. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, that was Scott Allen, head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans. We'll be taking on Calgary on the Friday here at War Memorial Gymnasium, 5 p.m. And, you know, Trinity, that's, you know, I really wanted UBC to win on the Friday and the Saturday, and of course they pulled it off. But Trinity, they do put an atmosphere in that War Memorial Gymnasium, and expect to see a ton of Spartan fans out here on the Friday. So that'll just add to it. And I do recommend, and we're going to have them on in about 25 minutes time, Henry Beckering and this Calgary team put on, I think it's pretty damn cool, dunk show about 20 minutes before the game in their warm-up. So if you are planning to come out here, and you know what, if you're planning to come out to the UBC game at 7 o'clock and you're on campus at about 4:30 and you don't want to watch the Trinity game but you want to watch the Calgary game, I recommend coming here to War Gym at 4:40, watch Calgary warm up, leave for a couple hours, come back for the UBC game. So, I mean, I'm excited for that Calgary warm-up on the weekend. We're going to have Henry Beckering on the show, who, go to YouTube, type in Henry Beckering and find that clip where that has 1.7 million hits, and check that one out. It's pretty cool. When UBC played Calgary in the Canada West Final Four last weekend in Calgary, Thunderbirds beat them in the Canada West semifinal game in a game that, it turned out, the winner had to win to go to Nationals. The loser wouldn't have gone to Nationals. So Calgary didn't get in. UBC did. Is before that game, in front of about 3,000 people in Calgary, sold out gymnasium. Boy, did they put on a real special dunk show that night. Maybe that's why I like them so much. I got to see them just put on, it was like a fireworks show. It was like the Festival of Lights or something like that. But nonetheless, it was quite something. Anyways, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we're back, Howard Samura of the Vancouver Province is going to be with us. We're going to do a little preview of the Canada West Final Four, which will be taking place at War Memorial Gymnasium at 5 o'clock on Friday. It's Calgary and Trinity Western, followed by the big game here, UBC and Brandon at 7. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Vancouver, Canada.
Thank you for being a friend.
Saturday, November 29th at 8 p.m., come join CITR as we celebrate our finale fun drive party. It's going to be live at the Biltmore Cabaret. Make sure you check it out. We're going to have a comedy show by Graham Clark, a burlesque show by Betty Loop. There'll be live musical performances.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m., it's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show. Wednesdays, 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Everybody, welcome back to Winners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And with us on the line from, you're working, hey?
No, actually I'm home now.
He's home now. Verdun, a short day, hey?
Yeah, pretty short day, yep. Good. Want to get home and watch the Canucks game.
There you go. Ooh, it started, hasn't it?
Well, first period's almost over, yeah.
What's the score?
0-0.
One of those, eh?
Canucks from a power play.
Is Carey Price in net for the Habs?
No, Halak's in net again.
Oh, God. I got Carey Price in my hockey pool. It's just not happening for me, Vern.
Why does that surprise me?
It's just not happening. With us right now, Vern Knopp, assistant coach for UBC Thunderbird men's basketball. Vern, coach's thoughts, everything, review on the weekend, the big series win versus Trinity Western. Great games at the War Gym, Vern, and you guys came out with two wins and no losses.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. The exact results we were hoping for and expecting, and now we can get on to the fun part of Canada West Final Four this weekend.
Vern, staying with that Trinity Western game, and you know, I interviewed Scott Allen early in the show. I talked to Chris. Didn't really get into it, but between the coaches, I mean, I'll just say it, and you can say what you want, Vern. There is a rivalry here with these. I mean, I'm not going to say a rivalry, but you really want to beat those guys, don't you? You're happy to pull that off.
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, it's. Rivalries, I think the term rivalry kind of gets blown out of proportion at times. You know, it depends. Rivalries change every year, I think. It's, you know, the last few 4 or 5 years, it's really been, our rivalry has really been Victoria, where it's always that we've seemed to always be battling them for Canada West supremacy, especially in the BC division. Trinity, you know, kind of snuck up on Victoria a little bit this year, had a good season. I mean, the acquisition of Jacob Dirksen was huge. They had a couple fifth-year guys in Brian Bamman and Jamie Vaughn. I mean, you know, they're, you know, full credit to them for the season they had. But yeah, after you play a team for the fourth and fifth times during the season, you start getting a bit of you get tired of playing each other, I guess is the best way to say it. Can't even come up with the proper words, but so yeah, I guess by Saturday night we kind of got sick of playing against the same guys, and you know, we could end up doing it again this weekend, depending on how things go.
Vern, I just want to stick with last weekend before we get into the Can West Final Four. 21 offensive rebounds. As a big man, you had to despise seeing that on the Friday. You guys cut their offensive rebound total down to 8 on the Saturday. I mean, was that the big adjustment? Was that the big screaming the coaches were doing in the locker room after the game on Friday?
Yeah, even at halftime, you know, we were furious just because we had focused on that the whole week in practice. You know, the number one objective into the weekend was defensive rebounding. So, yeah, to put it mildly, our coaches, our coach staff, we were furious at halftime and after the game. You know, in some ways we felt fortunate that we were able to pull the win out on Friday, just because giving up 21 rebounds is just unacceptable. And we did a much better job of it on Saturday, but even late, I think we gave up a few O boards in the fourth quarter when they made their run, which didn't help matters. And it's something, again, that's crucial this weekend as well. So, but, you know, in hindsight, we're happy with the wins, but still something, you know, when a defensive rebound still seems to be one of our Achilles heels at times.
And, Vern, just put it into maybe football turnover terms. How many turnovers in football can 21 offensive rebounds be equated to?
In football terms? Yeah.
Four turnovers?
Well, really, it's... Yeah, you know, it pretty much is probably four. Actually, 21 offensive rebounds is probably more the equivalent of like 5 turnovers in football. You know, Coach Hansen always has a saying, for every every turnover in basketball can lead to 1.5 points. Well, I think you can kind of almost attribute that to offensive rebounding as well. Every offensive board can lead to about 1.5 extra points against as well, because usually when you're getting offensive rebounds, your defense isn't set, so it's a lot easier for the offense to put the ball back in the basket.
So basically, you give up 21 offensive rebounds in a close, hard-fought game, chances are you won't win that game. So you were lucky to pull it out on Friday.
Yeah, I think we really were. You know, you got to reward your defense by rebounding, holding them to one shot. And time after time again, you know, we played good defense. We forced them to take tough shots. And then when they get the offensive rebound and get an easy putback, it can be really demoralizing to a team. And very rare do you ever give up 21 O-boards in a game and come out on top. So I think in a lot of ways we were fortunate.
Jacob Dirksen, their star player, maybe some people tell me the best player in the country. You know, he was about 13 points per game on the weekend against you guys, 10 rebounds, pretty good numbers. But, you know, Chris Dick, to me, looked like the best player in the country on the weekend, again, after his great weekend versus SFU. So two great weekends in a row for Chris Dick, who was the MVP of the weekend.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, not take nothing away from Jacob Dirksen, who I believe is one of the top players in the country. But I think Chris, if he was on a lot of other teams, would have probably got a lot more stats. You know, I definitely think Chris is a 20-point a game player. Unfortunately, we have so much depth on our team that Chris's numbers, rarely did he play games over 30 minutes this year. And in fact, even on the weekend, didn't play either game over 30 minutes and still put up huge numbers for us. You know, he's no question. He's our go-to player. He is our top player on our team, and we need big games from Chris. And he's always been a big game player when needed. He produces for us, and he did that the last two weekends for us.
Canada West Final Four, Vern. It is now the sixth time in the last 7 years that UBC has made this tournament. And while you guys have sort of had your woes in the first round of nationals, you've been absolutely brilliant in the Canada West semifinal game, the game that really says who and who is not going to nationals. You are 5-0 in that Canada West semifinal game in the last 6 years. So looking to make it 6-for-6 on the weekend.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's I guess it's a tribute to our coach, not just our coach staff, but our players in the most part, that they know that that is the biggest, you know, Friday's game will be the biggest game of the year, because if we lose, potentially our season could be over, although we do have a pretty good case for the at-large wild card bid. But, you know, it's a lot easier on yourself when you can focus on the Friday game, knowing that you win the next game. Even though it's the Canada West Finals, there really is no pressure because you're going on to nationals. I think we've been full credit for those wins. At the same time, we've been, I wouldn't say lucky, but we know going into Calgary last year was a tough place to play. And we were fortunate enough to play very well and come out with a win. And, you know, we don't base it on 5-0, 6-0. We just, you know, really want to take it one game at a time. And our focus is Brandon on Friday.
And Canada West Final Four, before we get into the Brandon game here, Vern, you know, you've won the last two Canada West championships. You won one in Brandon, and you won one in Calgary last year. You have won the Canada West title here at UBC. That was back in 2003. But the last time UBC hosted the Canada West Championship, 3 years ago, you lost to Victoria in that final game. So, you know, is that something? Last time it was here, you didn't win the Canada West Championship. So is that, you know, is that in the back of your minds as coaches?
No, not really. I mean, the year we lost to Victoria was kind of unfortunate. You know, we'd beaten them, I believe, three times in league, twice previously, five times that year, if I'm not mistaken, or at least four times. And it really is tough to beat a team five, six times in a year. And I believe at the same time, we also had Bryson Cool had got hurt the Friday night and wasn't even able to play for us on the Saturday. But, you know, that's in the past. We just really deal with, I mean, even last year, you know, we went in, you know, we expect to win every weekend. And, you know, we don't even worry about what happened last year. We just focus on this year. And, you know, we expect to go in Friday night and play UBC basketball and come out with the win.
Taking on the Brandon Bobcats on the weekend, Friday night. Let's get into this game. You played them once during the year, Vern. You beat them quite convincingly. But that's what the final score said. But, you know, this was a game I couldn't see. It was in Brandon. But you guys were down quite a bit in the first half against this Brandon team that didn't have in that game. I believe the guy's named Steve Marcelin, one of their top rebounders.
Yeah, no, it was a game where we fell down, I think, 12, 14 points, maybe more. I'm not quite sure the exact number. It was so long ago, back in November. You know, with that said, Brandon's always a tough place. It's been a tough place to play in the past. And, you know, they're a talented team, and they were missing Marceline, their top post player, who was, I believe, out with the flu. So, you know, we expect a tough battle. You can't go by what happened in November. I mean, they're a different team. We're a different team. So far early gone, we can just focus on, you know, what's happened in the past few weeks and judging how, you know, they came out of the top team in their division. They're full credit for where they've been this season, and it should be another tough battle against Brandon, who games where you've team has given us problems in the past.
Yeah, when you look at Brandon, Vern, you know, only 13-9 during the regular season, but this is a team with a lot of experience. They've made the Canada West Championship now 4 of the last 5 years. They've made the Nationals 2 of those years, including 2007 when they went all the way to the national final game and lost. So this is a team with a lot of playoff experience.
I mean, the team from that went to the finals a couple of years ago, I believe they only have maybe 2 or 3 players left from that team. Although one of them, Danny Charlie, is their best player, their go-to guy. You know, it's a team that's had a lot of success out in their division. They were in Canada West last year as well. So they do have some experience, and they'll definitely be a tough matchup for us.
What's the key to playing Brandon? What have you guys been talking about?
Well, we just started going over on their stuff, some of their stuff today, some of their sets. The main guys that we have to key on are their two backcourt players, Danny Charlie, who I've already mentioned. They're probably their leading scorer, as well as one of their catalysts on defense as far as usually checks the opposition's best player, which I'm sure Chris Dick will see a lot of them this weekend. Another guy that transferred over from Saskatchewan a few years ago, and Rajon Chabot, who's actually played against us in the Canada West, I believe it was semifinals like 2 years ago at Brandon, who's another player that who's given us problems in the past, had some big games against us. So those two will be the two main guys that we'll be keying on, as well as Marceline, their post player, who like we said earlier, didn't play against them. So I guess those three guys, there's always someone that seems to against us, comes off the bench and plays well against us, but those three guys will be our definitely our main focus.
And Vern, your team right now, you know, got to ask you about the injury update. Josh White, who I thought was the best player for you guys in the second half of the season. You didn't need him in the games he missed versus SFU, but I thought you sure needed him last weekend. Didn't play a ton of minutes on the weekend. 10 points in 14 minutes on the Friday. 12 points in 25 minutes on the Saturday. I'm told his foot is still not healed, that crack bone. What is the game plan with Josh White right now? I'm told he still isn't practicing in full practices right now, so... You know, if you win on Friday, do you sit Josh White on the Saturday? Is he going to start on Friday? What's the game plan with this player?
I really haven't had a chance to sit down with Coach Hansen and find out what his thought process is right now. Josh did practice with us today. He got through the weekend, I wouldn't say unscathed, but, it's still not fully healed. Although, if you talk to Josh, he said he's going to play this weekend. He'll definitely play Friday. Provide the week goes the way it has been today. Like I said, he practiced today. As long as that continues, he practices tomorrow and Thursday. He'll definitely be in the lineup Friday. I'd probably go on a hunch that he's going to start this weekend, just because when he was on the floor last weekend, we were a very effective team. He was a huge factor in why we won the two games. Not to take anything away from Alex Murphy. Alex Murphy, I thought, did some good things this weekend as well. But Josh has been our starter from day one this year, so I would probably say he will start. But we still have a couple days to determine that. As for what happens Saturday, who knows? It really all depends on what happens. Our main concern right now is Friday. We're not even thinking about Saturday as to who's playing or who we're going to play. It's just, like I said, our main focus is just Friday night against Brandon.
I guess one of the advantages you do have, Vern, is versus other conferences. I mean, normally it hasn't worked out for you guys having that extra week off between nationals, but maybe with Josh White's foot this year, if you do get through this weekend, you know, you can give him, say, a week off and get him much more healthy for nationals. Maybe this is the year that extra week plays to your advantage.
Yeah, maybe it is. Again, we haven't really looked that far ahead, but it's something that would be great if we get to nationals, that we do have that bye week. definitely give him some time off, as well as some other guys who are banged up. You know, some of the injuries were already adding up before we went into that series last week. A few guys are all still pretty nicked up, but I expect everybody ready to, you know, suck it up and go. But, you know, we'll deal with next week. We got to get there first before we can deal with next week.
I thought one of the great plays of the weekend, or something I enjoyed, was watching Josh White go head-to-head against his good friend and former teammate at UVic, Jacob Dirksen. White had a couple drives on him and shot a three over him, drawing the four-point play there during the weekend.
Yeah, Josh, I think, was pretty excited. Excited just to be back in the lineup after sitting out the next week. The fact that it was a former teammate in Jacob Dirksen, I think, you know, probably got him a little more pumped up to play. But, you know, Josh just wants to play, period. He doesn't really care who he plays or who he's going up against. He's just one of those guys that just wants the ball, wants to play 40 minutes and just play all out all the time. And, you know, I'd expect big things from him this weekend as well. So we're looking forward to having him back in the lineup, hopefully 100%.
I just want to ask you this, Vern, and I don't want to get your comments, but I personally thought there were a lot of fouls called on the weekend both nights. Any word, is it the same exact official crew here on the weekend? Do you know that yet? Can you tell me that?
It's not the exact same one we had Friday, Saturday. There'll be a couple of them the same, but I think because there's two games Friday, Saturday night, so not the exact same three guys will be. I believe one guy, the Alberta ref that was here this weekend, I believe is not out here this weekend. As for who's
okay, that's all we had to know. That's
okay.
It. That's all we had to know. Well done there, Vert. Vert Knopp, assistant coach, UBC men's basketball, will be taking on Brandon Friday at 5 o'clock. Should be at 7 o'clock, sorry.
No, 7 o'clock,
yeah. 7 o'clock should be a great game. And your thoughts on the Calgary Trinity Western game, Vern, preceding it. I really look at Calgary as a very interesting matchup for this Canada West Final Four. This was the team that you beat in the Canada West Final Four in their gym last year to knock them out of the playoffs. And they had beaten you in the regular season. Well, sort of the roles are reversed this year. They come into UBC. They're going to be playing Trinity Western on the Friday, a team they lost to during the regular season. They also lost to you. So, I'm really looking at Calgary this weekend. They've got the outstanding athlete Henry Beckering, fifth-year player himself, so he's going to be going really hard. Calgary-Trinity Western should be a great game, but I'm really looking at Calgary this weekend.
Yeah, it should be. You know, it should be really exciting. Both games on Friday should be exciting as well as Saturday. Like you said, Calgary, they've been top five pretty much the whole year this year. The Beckering brothers, and they have some other players that can really really step up and play. So they give it should be a great matchup between them and Trinity. Ironically, though, it is a role reversal from last year. Last year, we went into the Final Four having to play all the teams that had beat us in the regular season. So last year, we were the hunters, I guess you could say, and this year we're the hunted. So because all the teams that are coming to Final Four, we basically beat in the regular season. So it should be interesting. You know, Calgary is always a tough match for everybody. So Trinity definitely has their hands full, although they could have a bit of the edge knowing that they've beat Calgary in Calgary already this year. But, you know, that can also fire up Calgary to be a little more motivated this time to play Trinity. So the fans should be in for a real treat this weekend at War Memorial.
Just tell us, Vern, though, the key, what am I looking for, the key to that Calgary-Trinity game on Friday? How do you see that one shaking down?
I think it really comes down to who can score inside, who wins the battle on the boards and inside scoring. Both teams are big. Both teams are physical. Both teams rely on getting inside scoring. Trinity from Jacob Dirksen and Jamie Vaughn. Calgary from Sahota and the Beckering brothers. I think the real X factor is how Calgary shoots the ball. I think I would give a slight edge to Trinity as far as outside shooting with Lewis Hurd and Brian Vanman. With that said, Vaughn and Dirksen can still step out and shoot the three. Calgary, if they're shooting the ball well from the outside, are very tough to beat. But I think if there's one weakness from Calgary is maybe that they don't have quite the outside shooting that some of the other teams have. With that said, they still have some of the best talent in Canada, so it should be a great series.
Vern, right after you, I'm going to be interviewing Henry Beckering of the Calgary Dinos after the break. Tell everybody listening about this player.
Henry's just an amazing player to watch. You know, I was lucky enough to watch him play for the under-17s, and I believe he was only 15 at the time. Just a phenomenal athlete. I think a player that just as great as he is athletic, doesn't get enough credit for the understanding of basketball. He is a very smart, bright player that I think sometimes he doesn't get enough credit for, just because he's just out of this world athletically. The numbers don't lie. He puts up great numbers in his couple of years he's played down south. Just a phenomenal player. The fans, if you haven't seen him play before, they really do need to get out and watch him play. Especially Calgary's warm up. It's probably the best warm up in Canada. They put on a great show, and I think they'll be an exciting team to watch this year. And Henry is without question the leader of that team.
Yeah, Vert, I'm telling the UBC supporters who are going to come to the UBC game but are maybe going to be on campus at about 4:30 and they don't want to watch two games, they just want to watch the UBC game, to at least come to the gym at 4:40, watch the Calgary warm-up, go do their thing, and come back at 7. Would you say that's good advice?
Yeah, that's good advice. But you know, some of the best best dunks are actually during the game when they play. Calgary's just a fun team to play against and to watch. So regardless, if they want to come for the warm up or just come for the game, they're going to be they're going to have a great treat on hand, because it's going to be two great games on Friday as well as Saturday. So I just tell the fans not to miss any of the games.
Because it is true, Vern, with the Beckering brothers on Calgary, Jacob Dirksen for Trinity Western, you've got Chris Dick, Danny Charlie on Brandon. There's some great talent here on Friday, Saturday, hey?
Yeah, you're seeing some of the best players in not just in Canada West, but in the entire country, and there will be a lot of teams to kill to have those players. So, and a lot of them are in their fifth year, so it's going to be, you know, it's kind of, for a lot of people at home in BC, it's the last chance to come out and watch Chris Dick play and perform, as well as Henry Beckering, because they're moving on to bigger and better things after this year. So if people don't make it out this weekend, it's definitely their loss. They're missing out.
There you go. Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunder men's basketball. 7 o'clock, you get Brandon Vern. You better win on Friday, okay? Let's not make it interesting here with a Canada West with a national wild card berth.
No, I hear you. That's our intentions. We're coming out guns a-blazing for Friday.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Vern, and I'll see you on Friday.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, that was Vern Knopp, assistant coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball. We're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to delve into this Calgary Dinos team. And, you know, I know I've been talking about it a lot during the show, but it really wooed me over. There I was in the Canada West Championship last year, Canada West Final Four, the semifinal game last year in Calgary. UBC was playing the Calgary Dinos, sold out gym in Calgary. There's about 3,000 people there. And the Dinos started to do this warm-up. And it was right in front of me, because I was behind the rim in Calgary, sort of elevated. That's where the broadcast booth is. And the Calgary, the hoop they were warming up on was right in front of me. And they were putting on a dunk show. And all I'll tell you was, it was pretty damn cool. And maybe they were extra jacked up because they had the sold-out gym, the home crowd, the students were all going crazy for them, but I tell you, it was really something cool. So I will, once again, Calgary will be playing Trinity Western at 5 o'clock, but I'm promoting the Calgary warm-up. Try to get down to that gym if you're going to watch that game, 4:40. Or if you're saying, absolutely, I'm only going to watch the UBC game at 7, but, you know, I'm around campus, and maybe I'm going to go for dinner beforehand or something. If you can, get to that gym at 4:40, watch Calgary warm-up, and then leave and come back for the UBC game. Because I personally, we're doing the game on radio this weekend, CITR.ca 101.9. We're also going to be part of a webcast show. Is we're actually starting early. We're going to start at 5 o'clock, but we're starting at 4:50 so we could do a little preview, a little pregame. And I might even just do a play-by-play of this Calgary warm-up. I liked it that much. Anyways, folks, you're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Wiener's Barbecue. We're going to take a break. When we're back, we are going to Calgary, Alberta. Henry Beckering, who was actually once drafted by the Calgary Stampeders as a kicker, true story, will be with us. They'll be taking on Trinity Western 5 o'clock. All right. I've said that enough. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Hey, Doug, I'm hungry. We got no meat or dairy products in our fridge, Doug, and I'm hungry. What are we going to do?
Delicious vegan recipes baked fresh every week with your favorite bands on Let's Get Baked with Matt and Dave. It's the finest radio baking program available. Tune in and bake along. You won't be disappointed.
Hey, Doug, are you hearing this? This is a really good idea, Doug.
Mondays from 3 to 4 p.m. on CITR in Vancouver.
Let's get big with Matt and Dave. Eat some good food too.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Everybody, welcome back to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. And I love it when you call up a guy for an interview and he's like, awesome, yeah, let's go on. With us on the line right now from Calgary, Alberta, fifth year player for the Calgary Dinos, will be taking on Trinity Western at 5 o'clock on Friday, is one of the stars for the Calgary Dinos, Henry Beckering, 20 points, 7 rebounds on the season. And Henry, just so you know, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that.
No worries. Just so you know, I was broadcasting the Canada West Final Four last year in Calgary, and I got to see you guys do your amazing warm-up before that game where, you know, good for me, unfortunately for you, you guys lost to UBC, and I'm promoting this game, this Trinity-Calgary game, where I'm actually telling people to get to that stadium at 4:40 if they're coming to the game to watch you guys do that. Henry, I got to tell you, that fantastic warm-up. I'm a big fan of the dunk show you guys put on.
Oh, thanks. You know, our team's athletic, and we bring it to the game, too. It's not obviously just in the warm-up, but that's why we're at the Final Four. But we definitely, you know, try to excite the crowd, and it would be good to have more fans out, you know, at War Memorial. So we're excited to, you know, hopefully put on a good show, and our main thing, though, is to get that win, so.
Yeah, Henry, tell us about this game versus Trinity Western on Friday at 5 o'clock. This is a team you lost to during the regular season at home when they didn't have arguably the best player in the country, Jacob Dirksen, in the lineup. What went wrong in that game that you're definitely not going to have to, you definitely can't have happen in the game on Friday?
I just think we had some defensive lapses, and I thought they shot the ball really well. So, it's not that they just have one player in Jacob Dirksen. They have a lot of great players. Lewis Hurd, Banman, they have great guys off the bench. Keekstra, Meyer, they have some good guys that are going to step up and play well. Jamie Vaughn's another one of those guys. So they have a pretty good all-around team. So I think we're not necessarily going to focus on one player, but we're going to play against them as a team, and that's what's going to what it's going to come down to. So that loss was tough for us, but I think we're going to rebound well. So,
Henry, yeah, is this a little bit of redemption for your team this weekend? Is that the way you're looking at it? You were hosting the Canada West Final Four last year. You lost in the Friday to UBC. You got knocked out of the playoffs that way. You had beaten UBC in the year. They beat you this year. They beat you in that game. And this year it almost seems the roles are reversed. You lost to Trinity. You lost to UBC, and you're coming here.
I think, yeah, definitely we have no pressure, right, as losing to those two teams. But I think at the same time, you know, it's good to play a team that beat you. You obviously want that redemption or that sense of vengeance or revenge. So we're definitely going to come out really hard, and we know they're going to come out the same way. So I think it's going to be a really good game. So,
Henry Beckering of the Calgary Dinos with us right now. Henry, break it down to us. What's this basketball team like? You and your brother Ross, two outstanding scorers on this team. Break it down. Tell us all about the Calgary Dinos basketball team.
I think we have a solid, heady point guard in Jamie McLeod. He starts for us. Our two-man is Tyler Fiddler. He's a 6'9 wing. Second year, he's really good. He's versatile. We can post him up. I start at the three. We have my brother starting at the four and Robbie Sahota at the five. They're pretty much interchangeable there. And I come down and play in the post sometimes too, depending on our mismatches. So I think we have a really big team. We have some good guys off the bench with Dustin Redding and Andy Roshan. So those are our two main guys off the bench, as well as Dom Coward. So I think we have a good team that way. And I think we're fairly deep, and we're big and athletic, and we're going to rebound. So it's definitely going to come down to us getting our outside shots this weekend and just playing great defense. So,
Henry, you had a very solid weekend versus Alberta, 21 points, 6 rebounds in the two games. You're only playing for the University of Calgary for 2 years, but – getting that sweep to end your career at the University of Calgary at home, that had to be a nice feeling, sweeping Alberta on the weekend to end your home career.
You know, definitely it was good, you know, the last couple games at the Jack Simpson Gymnasium. We had really good fans, and we usually have good fans, but it was good to, you know, get those two wins, definitely against Alberta, obviously, they're our rival. So, yeah, it was awesome, and just having all my family and friends there was a good time. So.
Yeah, Henry, I do have to ask you, there was a weird stat here. I see you're a decent free throw shooter, but game two versus Calgary, you were 2-for-12 at the free throw line. What happened to you that game?
Yeah, everyone is asking me that anyway. So, basically, I don't know. I think I missed a couple, and then it just kind of rolled from there. I kind of got undercut on the alley-oop, like, in the first quarter. I don't know if you guys heard about it. I kind of got undercut, and I landed right on my side. And
no.
So I didn't really get hurt. I kind of got rattled after that. Pretty, you know, just, like, ready to go. So I think I kind of rushed a couple of my free throws and stuff, but you know what, I'm not worried about that. I'm a good free throw shooter. I'm not a bad free throw shooter, so I'm not worried about the night before. I went 8-for-10, so it's definitely, and if Trinity wants to do that and foul me, I'm more than welcome to. So I'm gonna hit those free throws, so.
There you go, you're gonna hit them this weekend, eh?
Yeah,
Henry, I actually hadn't heard what happened getting undercut on the alley-oop. I hadn't heard this story.
Basically, just running down the court, we had a 2-on-1, and our point guard threw me a toss in the air, and one of the guys on U of A undercut me while I was at my highest point, and I kind of, my whole body went horizontal at about like 6 feet, and I just fell straight to the floor. So definitely a scary moment, I think, for our team and for myself, but I just got a little banged and bruised. It could have been a lot more serious, so it was good.
Wow, that sounds pretty crazy. Was the flagrant foul called, at least?
No, that's what our coach was snapping, and everyone on our team and the crowd was booing for about 5 minutes. So it wasn't called, but I don't think he intentionally meant to do it. It was kind of one of those plays where he just got under me and wrong place at the wrong time. So I don't hold any grudges or anything. So
there you go. That lousy team from Edmonton, hey?
Yeah, definitely those Bears.
you also play, Henry, with your brother Ross, of course. Has to be very special, you two playing. He had a fantastic year, his best year scoring, 15 points per game. Your brother was outstanding on the weekend, 24 points per game. 18-for-23 on field goals on the weekend sweep versus Alberta.
Yeah, he's doing amazing. He's stepping it up at the perfect time. And I've always told him, you know, he's a great player, and he needs to be more aggressive offensively. And I've always told him that, you know, these last couple of years, I'm like, you have to take your guy. You have to be you have to be a big scorer for us. And he did that this weekend, and he really obviously shot a very good percentage. And I think he should shoot it even more and be even more aggressive. So he's definitely a key part to our team, if not the key to our team. So he brings a lot, whether it's defense, rebounding, scoring. So I'm just gonna tell him to keep on going, keep on taking it, and hopefully we can get another weekend like that out of him this weekend.
And Henry, I read in your bio there you've got two sisters who also play competitive basketball, and one of them plays at the University of Gonzaga.
Both my older sisters played at the University of Calgary. They're both done now.
Okay.
So they played at the University of Calgary, and then my younger sister plays at Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington. She's in her second year this year.
Cool. And you were drafted by the Calgary Stampeders in the 5th round as a kicker?
Yeah. I was my first year at Eastern Washington, when I was over there, I played football for my first year. And so then I kind of just kind of wanted to focus on basketball. It was, you know, basketball is my first love. Obviously, it's in the family. So I did that. And then the Stampeders just decided to draft me. But I think I'm going to focus on basketball and definitely try to pursue a pro career next year in Europe as a Dutch citizenship. So.
Cool. And what were you, a place kicker, a punter? What were you?
Like a kicker, yeah, place kicker, basically. So, specialist guy. So.
There you go. What's your longest field goal?
Longest field goal in a practice, 65. In a game, 54, 53, 64.
You hit one that long, eh?
Yep.
Pretty good. And were you a Stampeder fan growing up, or are you still a Stampeder fan?
Yeah, I was a Stampeder fan growing up. You know, I didn't really follow the CFL too much. You know, obviously you watch the Grey Cup every year, but as for following the season, I wasn't that into it. But definitely, you know, now I'm a Stampeder fan, and you know, even if obviously I don't think anything's going to happen now for football, I don't really intend on anything to happen, but I'll definitely be cheering for them as they host the Grey Cup this year. So
there you go. I actually went out to see the Western Final last year. I was rooting for BC in McMahon Stadium there. So
Oh,
that was a rough one.
That's okay though.
That was a rough one.
You got us last, or you got us the year before, right?
Yeah, I think did count. Yeah, maybe. I don't see BC's hosted. BC's actually hosted it so many years in a row. I can't remember.
I don't know.
To be honest, what about? Are you a Flames fan? Don't tell me you're a Flames fan.
No. Let's get this straight. I'm not a Flames fan. Okay. I'm an Oilers fan. I'll cheer for the Flames. I'm not like a diehard either way, but if the Flames are in the playoffs and the Oilers aren't, I'll cheer for the Flames in the playoffs. You know, I'm kind of an Alberta guy to say the least. But when it's the regular season, I'm cheering for the Oilers. Just brought up with my dad as an Oilers fan. As my grandpa's a hardcore Flames fan, so my dad, you know, kind of rebelled and was the Oilers fan, so I kind of followed in his footsteps. But I'm not too hardcore, whereas I'll go to a Flames game once in a while, but I'm not clapping my hands and going crazy. So.
Okay, I like to hear that one. Henry Beckering of the University of Calgary will be playing Trinity Western on Friday night at 5 p.m. And, Henry, can I promote it? Can I promote your dunk show at about 4:40 p.m.? Am I allowed to do that?
Oh, yeah, perfect. No problem. As long as it brings out more fans and more awareness, it's going to be great basketball. You got four great teams, you know. UBC, obviously, is the home team, and they're number one this year. They're number two in the country. So I think as many people as we can get out, I think it's equal or, better than mid-major or low-major Division I basketball. So if you want to watch some really good basketball, I'd come out to War Memorial on Friday and Saturday.
Cool. Awesome. Henry Beckering, University of Calgary. Henry, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck beating Trinity on Friday. And I'm sorry, Henry, I hope UBC beats you on the Saturday.
No problem. I know where you stand. At least you stand firm in what you believe. That's all right.
Henry, I want to see you guys win on the Friday. I'll be straight up with that. Okay. Trinity Western out. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I wouldn't mind meeting you guys in the final. So that's no problem.
There you go. Because Henry, ask you the last question here, because you guys are in that situation where even if you lose on the Friday, you can still get the wild card, but you did learn it last way the hard year. You can't rely on that national wild card berth, eh?
No, definitely we can't rely on it. Last year, Acadia ended up losing there from the AUS, the East Conference, and they got it over us. So we definitely can't rely on that. So we're not even thinking about that. We're not even thinking about nationals. We're just thinking about this first game, Trinity, and see where we go from there.
Beat them, okay, Henry?
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Henry. All right, that was Henry Beckering of the University of Calgary. And once again, if you want to see something pretty cool, a pretty cool dunk show, go to YouTube, type in Henry Beckering, and B-E-K-K-E-R-I-N-G, one of his clips, you might have to scroll down a bit, has about 1.7 million hits. It's like a dunk contest I think he did in high school. And, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So very much hoping to see Calgary beat Trinity Western on Friday. I'll say it. All right, everybody. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Other things going on for UBC Athletics on the weekend. The women's volleyball team, I have to bring up them, looking to defend their CIS National Championship. They are going to be in New Brunswick on the weekend, starting on Thursday. Eight teams make it. They won the Canada West Championship on the weekend. They beat Trinity Western 3-2 in the conference final. This is a Thunderbird ladies volleyball team that was 7-5 to start the year. Really turned it on at the end of the year. They're going to be playing Moncton in round one on Thursday. The team to watch out for in that playoff is Montreal. They're the number one team, number one seed in the rankings. Also, a great story for UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Going into the University of Calgary on the weekend, UBC had to win two games, and they pulled it out to make the playoffs. So UBC, their hockey playoffs won't start this weekend. It will start next weekend. They're going to be at the University of Lethbridge. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Yeah, I guess I just said it. Okay.
CITR 101.9 FM is your home for live UBC sports.
Second down and 18 for the Clan at row 37. We got our streaker.
Here's the streaker.
Davies dropped back. He's got a throw.
Throw it to the streaker.
And the streaker, I think, got Simon Fraser a first down. He's into the damn you call it.
He's into the end zone, and he's breakdancing in the end zone bare naked. He's being
chased by security and he's
going for the hill.
Security fell down.
Go.
Security is gone.
He's gone for
get
the
up
entry.
The fence.
Oh, he's going.
You gotta love college football.
Did I mention it is also unedited and commercial free?
He's gonna put his team shorthanded.
And 13 is about as smart as your mom was when she decided not to take birth control.
Well, there you have it.
All the information about our sports department can be found on our website, citr.ca.
Everybody, welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Mike with Fletcher Head has just arrived in the studio right now. Mike, did you watch? Grab the microphone there. Grab the mic. I think I've got two on. Is that two? So you understand.
It's got the big two on it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know why that screws me up? Because there's so many twos.
Well, if you look at, you would think the one to your left would be number two. But
yeah.
It goes counterclockwise around the
room.
Like
Hebrew writing.
Okay.
Hebrew. And you know what? I'm gonna segue this because I'm just going to bring this up. Did you hear about the whole thing in Dubai? Did you hear about that?
No.
The Dubai Classic Tennis Tournament?
No.
Shahar Peer, an Israeli player. The United Arab Emirates is the country the tournament takes place in. They denied her entry into the country, so she couldn't play in the tournament. Now, this is the kind of thing that doesn't happen in tennis. Tennis tries to completely stay, and it's not like soccer, where it's such a nationalist game. Tennis really kind of is, but not really, right? Not even close to the test.
It's not the level of...
No, it's like 10 times down, right? So they didn't allow her in. The tournament got fined $300,000. And basically, the WTA said, and the tennis and the ATP also, if you pull that again, we're taking your tournament away. And they ended up letting in Andy Ram, I believe is his name, an Israeli doubles player for the men's tournament, which was a week later. And Andy Roddick actually pulled out of the men's event because they didn't let her in. So a big profile player didn't show up. And Serena and Venus Williams, who won the women's tournament, in her acceptance speech in the stadium, said it was a shame that not everybody could play in that tournament. So there you go. You do have to keep politics out of it, don't you?
Definitely. What was the reasoning for not allowing her to play?
Oh, because they don't recognize Israel. No, it was the country didn't let her in.
Because they don't recognize the country?
They don't recognize Israel as a country, so they wouldn't let her in. But they took such a backlash from the tennis world who...
So it wasn't the tennis' decision, though. But they just had to abide by their country's ruling?
Pretty much. But basically... See, they let the doubles player in a week later, the Israeli men's doubles player. And I think it got to the point where it was probably just such a political hot button that they just couldn't let her in, even though the backlash was happening. And I think they're just going to let her in next year. They have to, or they're going to strip the tournament.
Yeah.
Sponsors dropped out. So there you have it. Did you watch the Oscars?
I didn't. I was at dinner with my family.
No, well, Hugh Jackman, the host.
We got to see a little bit on the TV. It looked really exciting, like with all the props they had going on for the opening and things like that. And
yeah, I lost $50 betting on the Oscars this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got every one of my picks wrong.
The thing is, this is one year where I don't think I've seen one of the top movies, the best movie category.
Yeah, what did you saw Batman?
I saw Batman, and the only one I saw was Gran Torino. That would have been close.
I thought it was awesome.
I liked it. I was kind of up in the air about Clint Eastwood's character and the way he played it and stuff.
Yeah.
But I did like the movie.
Yeah, I thought that should have been nominated for Best Picture. The Reader wasn't that good.
No?
No, it was. I watched it in the theater, and it was one of those. I'm like, okay, was this over yet?
But those were those art kind of films, I guess, where you got to be in a certain right mind to watch these movies. Where I'm not that kind of a movie guy, I like the Batman movies instead.
No, you're wrong with this, The Reader. It was okay, but I know what you mean with those art movies, but it wasn't even that great of one of those.
No.
You know? I thought The Wrestler was out. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that either.
That's the one.
I've heard a lot of good things about that one.
That's the one. But we're looking at it where the movies that I enjoyed, they didn't win. No. So I don't even know what to think anymore. Maybe my movie picks are just wrong. Maybe I retire now and
just don't pick the
stick
one
with
that
TV
that you think is going to win, pink, or that you would like to win, but pick the one that's going to win.
Did you see? You didn't see Slumdog Millionaire?
No.
See what happened in Slumdog? Can I just give you one little part?
Sure.
Okay. At the end of the movie, they did a song and dance routine based on Bollywood. Okay, it was like a serious kind of movie, and I thought it was awesome. But then they did this song and dance routine to the song Jai Ho. That, and it's apparently a Bollywood thing. I thought it was one of the worst things I've ever seen in a movie theater. I thought it was just awful. Like, I didn't want to barf, but, you know, if I could have barfed out my thoughts of watching the movie, if that makes any sense, I would have done it.
Yeah.
And so it immediately made me say, I don't want Slumdog Millionaire for Best Picture, okay? So I bet it on Milk, but I then also, it was that song, Jai Ho. So I bet against that song. It won. The end of the credit song for Slumdog Millionaire beat out Bruce Springsteen's song in The Wrestler, which didn't even get nominated. And did you see Bruce Springsteen? He won the Golden Globe?
Yeah, I heard he won that one for it.
Didn't even get nominated for an Oscar. They took a Peter Gabriel song, which wasn't even performed by Peter Gabriel, and two weird, I hope I'm being offensive to anybody here, but two weird Indian songs. I mean, it just wasn't for me.
No.
Do I have to like Indian music?
No, you don't. I don't listen to it enough.
It's
not my thing. But you know what type of music I play, so it's different.
Yeah, you didn't get. And what about Clint Eastwood's piano song at the end of Gran Torino?
Oh my God, that was bad.
Oh, you didn't like
I was like, this is Clint Eastwood singing.
Yeah,
this is bad.
Not for you.
He was just talking basically. It wasn't really singing. It was just him in his deep voice.
I thought it would have been cool, though, because I don't know if you saw it. They kind of, for the songs, just kind of combined the three. There were only three nominated, and they just kind of combined all three. I thought it would have been really cool seeing Clint Eastwood sing at the Oscars and Bruce Springsteen!
Yeah.
I wonder if the reason Springsteen didn't get nominated is they called him up, and they're like, hey, Bruce, you want to perform at the Oscars? And he said, no, I've already done the Super Bowl. I've already done the Golden Globes. And they're just like, okay, you're not getting nominated. Could they've done that, Luke? A little conspiracy there because the boss wouldn't show up?
It's probably been done before. You don't do what the Academy wants you to do.
Yeah, you gotta wonder. But anyways, I was just way off this year. I thought Mickey Rourke was going to win for sure. He didn't. I took Milk. The worst part about it was I took Milk to win Best Picture, okay? Lost that bet. He had Slumdog. Then two categories that Milk won, Best Original Screenplay and Best Actor, I bet against it on those. So Luke Mead, our music director here at CITR.
Do you have like some kind of Oscar bookie that you go to? Were they given like 3-1 odds on Slumdog Millionaire?
I actually bet with my friend who's actually a prosecutor for the province. Should I not so
that
say
gives
that?
Him an inside edge then?
No, I'm just saying, you know, I can maybe that I don't have to pay him because I'll report him to his government. maybe that's the thing. Your thoughts,
though. CITR does not endorse extorting public figures of office.
No, I take it back. Luke, your thoughts on the movies that won here.
I haven't seen any of them. I've seen Batman, and I saw Man on Wire. I was really happy he won that. I saw
Best Documentary.
That was Best Documentary, which was a beautiful film.
Yeah.
But I usually hold off and wait and see. Ever since Gladiator won Best Picture, I usually kind of go, what? With every time I see a Best Picture movie, you know? I'm thinking of like stuff like Crash and let's see. Oh, the Halle Berry one with Billy Bob.
Monsters Ball.
Like those, I was just scratching my... Oh, Judgment Day? I was just... Not Judgment Day. What's it called? Training Day. You know? like, you know,
Denzel Washington,
these are all Best Picture winners. And I was just like, okay. And every year I just get further and further alienated from regular society, I think, every time I try and see a Best Picture movie. So I do like Danny Boyle a lot. I'm sure that Slumdog's probably going to be as good as everyone says it is. So, you know, I hope so, you know. I was right. I bet that the dead guy was going to win, and I bet that Sean Penn was going to grandstand about Prop 8 as soon as he won Best Actor.
And
you know
he did.
And
yeah,
he did. You
and
bet.
Did,
you know, yeah. No reason not to.
See,
know,
I should have talked to Luke.
Yep. I'll be your Sam Rothstein from Casino next year. Okay?
You'll be my gambling expert.
I'll give you the inside scoop. Okay.
Did Casino win Best? It didn't win. That's a great movie.
That is a great movie. Yeah. But he was already on the heels of Goodfellas, and Pesci just won for that, I think. You know, didn't you win Best Supporting for that?
Maybe, I don't know. I can't remember.
He better have if he didn't.
There you go. Awesome. Okay, that's our Oscar talk. Thanks for getting me through the last 10 minutes, guys. I was a little short there, and you got me through. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Weir's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Mike with Fletcher Head will be coming on in a couple minutes for music that is not similar to Jai Ho. It's different than that.
It's a little different
than the Bollywood music, and we won't be hearing Clint Eastwood singing on the piano.
I might play it in between songs.
You might do that. Did you hear that one, Luke? Clint Eastwood on the piano?
I own the Paint Your Wagon soundtrack, and Clint Eastwood is just genius in that. No, there's this really beautiful ballad that he sings. And I'm not kidding. You know, I'm sure you've seen the Simpsons parody of it.
That's the only thing I knew about
no,
Pay
That
Your
movie
Wagon.
Really does exist. And it's Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood singing musical tunes. I'm dead serious. And it's a wonderful little flick. It's like 3.5 hours long. And you got to see it to believe it, really. You know? Clint's got a decent voice, to be honest.
That's the one where Lee Marvin shows up.
Yes.
And Homer's like, oh, he's always drunk and angry. And he starts...
Paint Your Wagon.
I thought Clint Eastwood should have been nominated for that song. I wanted to see Clinton the Boss perform, but that's just me. All right, everybody, we're done here. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody. And once again, the big UBC basketball weekend at War Memorial Gym. It is the Canada West Final Four. UBC is hosting. Trinity and Calgary will be playing at 5 o'clock. UBC and Brandon at 7. The winners of those games will go to the CIS National Tournament. And remember, for Trinity Calgary, get there at 4:40. Go to YouTube, check out Henry Beckering. He plays for Calgary. He's got that YouTube clip that has about 1.7 million hits. Check out the dunks, because at about 4:40, Calgary will be doing their warm-up, and what a dunk show they put on. It's really cool. All right, which one am I hitting, Mike?
Let's go with number one.
Number one. Who are we playing, Mike?
Stiff Little Fingers.
Stiff Little Fingers. Mike with Fletcher Head starting right now.
I could be a soldier, go out there and fight to save this land. Be a people soldier, paramilitary god in hand. I won't be a soldier, I won't take no orders from no one. Stop the fucking armies, killing isn't my idea of fun. And they wanna waste my life, they wanna waste my time, they wanna waste my life, and they stole it away. I could be a hero, live and die for their important cause. A united nation or an independent state with laws and rules and regulations that merely cause disturbances and wars. And that's what I have got now, all thanks to the freedom-seeking hordes. And they wanna waste my life, they wanna waste my time, they wanna waste my life, and they stole it away. I'm not gonna be taken in. They said if I don't join, I just can't win. I've heard that story many times before, and every time I'm running out the door.